The dynamic duo. Which one's Batman? I don't know. Neither one. Batwoman. No, it's Catwoman. They don't have a Batwoman, do they? Technically, they do. I'm supposed to ask Steve. Yeah, he's got the Batman. Yeah, you and between you and Joel, who knows what we have? You guys probably have a bat cave at your apartment, don't you? Pretty much. All right. Something that's in the works that's going to take place is. Oh, never mind. I won't tell you that. We'll save it. Oh no. We'll save it. It's coming. I gotta wait. Okay. In our society, you could put that up there. Anybody ever seen something like that? Little punch code things. Something that's kind of like a phone. But in today's society, there are so many things that require access. That things that you can't get to unless you have an access code, or if you have the way in, or you have the knowledge. You can go to the next one. Give me some things that require an access code. Email account. Okay, email account. A safe. Oh, you can go back not that far. Yeah. What?
A door.
Sometimes a door. Okay, security for a system.
Smartphone.
I couldn't hear you.
The code on the church.
Yeah, security code on the church to be able to get in without the alarm going off.
Smartphone.
Okay, so you have to have a code to get into your phone.
Parental
controls.
Cars.
Who has one of those kind of cars that you need an access code? On my truck, you don't have that one on those. So, websites, email, ATM machines to get into your computers at work. Sometimes you have to have an access code. All kinds of different things. When I worked for the Army and I was stationed or had to go to Fort Bragg, I worked for the Special Forces Command. And so to get into their building, you had to have this special code and special card that would get you in, and you would swipe it, and it would hopefully it would go green, and you would be able to go in. And then they had also at Fort Bragg, at USASOC, Special Operations Command, same type of thing, where you had to do that. And at the Pentagon this last year, January when I went, this was my first time to go to the Pentagon, so I'd never been there. And so, again, even for a visitor pass, they create one for you with your picture and everything on it, and it says what things you have access to. And there are some places, you know, you watch on TV and they have those things where you put your little eyeball up there, you know, the little retinal scans. That's for real. They do have some places that actually require that for access to different rooms in the Pentagon. So all that to let you know that there are many things that require access, but there's one thing that even is more important than those things is requiring access, and that's access to God the Father. And we talked about it a little bit on Good Friday, and we're going to talk about it a little more today. In Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 3, it says, therefore, you can go one more. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we boast in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 12 says, in him and through faith in him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. Talking about through Jesus Christ, we may be able to approach, we may have access to God with freedom and confidence to come boldly into his presence. So we, as the body of Christ, as Christians, we have one of the greatest privileges ever bestowed upon humankind. We have the right and the boldness and the freedom to access the Lord at any time. We can go to God at any time. We have a need in our lives. We don't have to wait until a certain time. We don't have to go to a certain person. We can go directly to God the Father, and we can say, Father, this is my need, and I need you to work in my life in this situation. At any time, we can, if you think about heaven, think about what's in heaven. What are some things in heaven? Angels. Jesus, God, saints, angels, eternity. What? Say it again. The Packers Super Bowl is in heaven? Or that's just in your dreams or what? I don't know. Super Bowl's past, yes, that's true. I don't know. Is it eternal? Yes. So, you kind of threw me that with that one. At any time, we have the ability to bypass guardian angels, to bypass seraphim and cherubim, to bypass all the saints that are there, to past the heavenly host, to boldly enter into the Father's throne. We can bypass the Super Bowl people from Packers, if there are any Packer fans in heaven, I'm not so sure. But if there are, there might be one or two. Okay. They said when I came here that there are three religions, Catholic, Lutheran, and Packer fan. Is that true? It's true. No. Oh, no, that's because you're from Minnesota. Yeah, there are no Minnesota Vikings in heaven either. They don't have too many Super Bowls either. So we have the opportunity to go past all those people, all those beings, all that, and we could go directly to the Father. We can go past all those people. We can cut in line, if you will. Have you, any of you ever been to Disney World or Disneyland? Just a couple? There are lines at those places, and there are long lines. And one time we went there, I grew up in Florida, but Sandra and I went back with our two youngest kids when they were teenagers, and Sandra broke her foot stepping off a thing, and so she rode around in a wheelchair, and because of that, we got to bypass all those lines because we had a crippled person with us, and we were able to get to the front. I owe her a dollar. Everybody knows that in our house that if you mention somebody from the pulpit, then you have to pay them a dollar. So I owe her a dollar. She doesn't know that I said her name, but I'm sure that you will tell her. So we have direct access to the Father, but it hasn't always been that way. It used to be restricted. You can go to the next slide. And we didn't always have the opportunity that we have today. In the Old Testament, no person had unrestricted access to the Father. Nobody had unrestricted access. Sometimes they may have had limited access, but they did not have unrestricted access. Now we have unrestricted access. We could just go to God. Boom. We're there. Yeah, that's good. So give me some people in the Old Testament that you could think of who were pretty close to God. Okay, Moses. Moses, he spoke to God face to face, it talks about, or mouth to mouth is how they say it. He spent 40, how many days? 40 days in the presence of God. 40 days in the presence of God. He had all that, and yet the rest of Israel, what did the rest of Israel have? They had no relationship. They did not come into the presence of God. They could not come into the presence of God. It was only who? Moses and Aaron. And Joshua. Yes, Joshua. Three out of Millions that couldn't get in there. Okay, yeah, we're coming to David. All right, so David, give me some more names, and then we'll put them all.
Elijah.
Elijah, Enoch.
Noah.
Noah. High priest. Oh, you're reading them all now. You're cheating. Okay, so we have more people than are up there. But if you think about Abraham, he had a pretty good relationship with God. You know, they're talking on a regular basis. But he still was outside the veil. He still did not have that access that he was not able to go into God's presence, into the Holy of Holies. There was a spiritual veil of separation that was still there. The prophets, they spoke through dreams and visions, and they did some great things, but they didn't still have that direct access. David, he communed with God. He knew the Lord as his defender, as his refuge, as his keeper, as his strength, but he couldn't get into the Holy of Holies. Solomon, he built the temple to God's glory. We know that when he prayed and he asked God's presence to fill that place, that God's presence came down. And it was a powerful presence in that place, and that God's presence dwelt there. But could the rest of Israel, they couldn't go into the Holy of Holies. So we've always had a very limited amount of people who had direct access to God, or a limited access to God. Daniel, he prayed 3 times a day, but he's still, the rest of Israel that was in exile in Babylon, they didn't have that same thing. There were only limited people. The high priest, how many times a year could he go into the presence? Thank you, I give you the slight hint. One time he could go into the presence of God and atone for the sins of the whole nation. So you have those people we talked about, Elijah, Enoch. We know those people are all special with God. They had that special relationship. But the rest, the majority of Judaism and the majority of those people in the Bible that are not listed by name, they did not have that access. They didn't have the ability to go into God's presence. It was only a select few that were able to do that. They remained outside the veil, and access was restricted. Restricted access. It's like when you're trying to get into that certain section at the Pentagon. You have to have that card, swipe it, and yes, you can go in, or no, you can't. Or you do your little and they read your little eyeball. I never did that, so I'm not that special. Say again.
So we have men always been up there. What about Mary?
Okay, Mary. She's a good one. She had direct relationship with God, and the fact that he spoke to her and he chose her to be the mother of Jesus. So that's it. But she still was just one person. It was not the entire nation of Israel. Even when Jesus came, he was limited. He was limited by where he was at. Once he died and he rose again and went into heaven, then we had direct access. There are other women in the Bible. Give me some other women in the Bible who were close to God. Eve. Esther. Ruth. Deborah. So Deborah was a prophet. Martha and Mary. Those two, we talked about them a little while ago. So women had access, so that's not, I'm not, I was sorry. That is all, they were all male names. I stand corrected in that regard. Those were just ones that just came to my mind real fast. So yes, there are women who were close to God, but they too only limited, and the nation of Israel, the rest of the people didn't have that access. That's what I was trying to get at. So restricted access. But now, next slide, we have unrestricted access. In one glorious moment, we received total and unrestricted access to the Father. We read this on Good Friday. Matthew chapter 27, verse 50 and 51 says, "And when Jesus had cried out again in a loud voice, he gave up his spirit. At that moment, the curtain of temple was torn in two from the top to the bottom. The earth shook and the rocks split." In the instant that Jesus Christ died on the cross, we were given total and unrestricted access to the Father. That meant we can go to God at any time. We didn't have to go through Moses. We didn't have to go through Aaron. We didn't have to go through Joshua. We didn't have to go through the high priest. We didn't have to go through Mary. We didn't have to go through Deborah or anyone else. At that time, we were able to go directly to God. The tearing of the physical veil represented what took place in the spiritual realm, in the spiritual world. When that tore, it was as if God was pulling back things and saying, "Now you can come into my presence because of what my Son has done for you." Because of this, we have access into the Holy of Holies, the very throne of God Almighty. The door is no longer shut to us. The door is no longer shut to us. We can go, amen. The door is no longer shut to us. We can have unrestricted access. It was made possible by Jesus Christ. In Hebrews chapter 4, verses 15 and 16, it says, "For we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he did not sin. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence," or with boldness, one version says, "so that we may receive mercy to find grace to help us in our time of need." So at his death, Jesus not only he paid the price for us in getting access to the Father, but he also became our high priest. Hebrews, we've been studying it for the last couple months, the book of Hebrews, and talking about that Jesus is a better high priest. He is more better than the high priests that were earthly high priests. I know that's not correct English, so you don't have to write it down. But he intercedes on our behalf. He pleads our case before God. And when God the Father looks down at our lives, now he sees what Jesus Christ did for us. He sees the blood of Christ, and he knows that we are covered and that we are cleansed. He calls for us to come boldly to his throne. Jesus takes us into the presence of the Father. We now have unrestricted access to him day or night. Unrestricted access. So before the Old Testament and the New Testament, before Jesus Christ died on the cross, they had restricted access. But when Jesus Christ died on the cross, and since that time, we have had unrestricted access to him. Sometimes we don't get that. We don't get that. Sometimes we ignore the access. The Lord desires that we take advantage of the access that has been purchased. And I think it hurts. I think it hurts the Lord when we who have received the full unrestricted access to the Father don't take advantage of it. Now he's given us a gift. He's saying, "You can come to me. You can talk to me. You have a need, you come talk to me. You need someone to talk to, come talk to me." God has laid that out there for all of us to take advantage of. And sometimes we don't take advantage of it. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 19 through 22 says, "Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have a confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus," couldn't have done it before without it, but But now, because of the blood of Jesus, we can. By a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is his body. So that veil and his body, same thing going on. Because of what took place in his body, we have access to the Father. And since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with the full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water. We have the access that Moses yearned for. Moses wanted to be able to come to God's presence all the time. We have the access that David's heart maybe could sense was there, but could not obtain. We wanted the access that Daniel never received, though he prayed 3 times a day. Sometimes we take this gift for granted. We just think, hey, I could just pray whenever I want. Well, the only reason we can pray whenever we want and we can talk to God whenever we want is because of what Jesus Christ did on the cross for us. When he did that, he paved the way and he made it so that we could. Every time we ignore the access Jesus bought for us, I think we take his blood lightly. When we don't take advantage of the opportunities we have to come to him, we're going through a difficult time or something, we try to do everything that we can to meet that need before we go to God. Instead, we should go to God right away and say, Father, this is what's going on in my life. I need some help here. Then we can try to do some things, but don't try to do everything that you can first and then go to God. But go to God first and then try to work that way around. We have all the resources we need. We only need to come to him, and yet we continue to maybe sometimes snub this gift, this costly gift. But he wants us to do this. He wants us to draw near. And he wants us to have a seeking heart. So his desire is that we would tap into that access. That we would tap into the access. The Lord is calling us to tap into the access that we've been given. The Lord is calling us not to ignore this great gift that was purchased for us. The Lord is calling us to hunger in our hearts after him. The Lord is calling us to spend time with him in prayer. The Lord is calling for us to enter in. And that's what I want us to do this morning. I want us to take a moment right now. They're going to put some music on. And I want us to spend some time talking to the Lord. You can do it in your chair. You can come to the front. You can walk around. All I want you to do is just to talk to him. And thank him for the access that we have, for what Jesus Christ did for us on the cross, that he gave us that access. And if you're like me and sometimes you have not taken advantage of that access, maybe tell God, hey, I'm sorry, I haven't taken advantage of this, pray, Father, that you would just forgive me and that you would do a work in me. So, music's going to start and we're going to pray. And if you have a chance after we're done praying, it's Brittany's birthday, so make sure we're not going to sing happy birthday at this time, but we can when we go out there. Let's find a place to pray. All right. Father, we give you thanks for your word. We give you thanks for what you have done for us, for the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ, and for what you did in purchasing for us salvation, cleansing, forgiveness, and for purchasing a direct access into your presence. I thank you that we can tap into that access. And I pray that now, as we take a moment just to talk to you, one-on-one, that you would hear our prayer and that you would answer. We love you and we give you thanks. In Jesus' name. Amen. You're free to go if you want, but...